Good morning, everybody. Well, today we're continuing this series on God and the chaos, and we're going to shift into a very particular type of chaos that just about impacts every person's life at one time or another, and that is career chaos. Has anybody here ever had career chaos? Just like, wow, the job situation is way stressful, okay? I think most people would say that that would be true. In fact, statistics tell us that the average person will change jobs 12 times over the course of their lifetime. In fact, men, the Bureau of Labor Statistics found that men will change jobs every 4.3 years. And that on average, women will change jobs every 4 years. So that's a lot of volatility. That's a lot of craziness. That can be a big challenge. Sometimes we choose that job change. We're looking for better pay. We're looking for improved benefits. We're looking for work-life balance or a less toxic work environment. There are reasons we might choose and elect to find some new vocation or job. But sometimes it happens because it's forced on us. Maybe there's downsizing because the economy is kind of kicked into a recession and the company's basically looking to pare back the workforce. It could be a reorganization or a merger removes certain jobs, or sometimes it's just a really bad boss, you know, a toxic situation. You're like, man, they kind of push us out and we're like, I just need relief. I got to get out of this. Whatever the reason might be, we are going to face at some time or another some of those stressors financially, maybe even in terms of unemployment. And today I've asked Craig and Tony Merrifield to come up. This is their third time talking about this, so they're worn out. Like, aren't you, Craig? Are you worn out?
Oh, no. I'm so tired.
They're going to talk to us this morning about their situation where for 19 months they had to deal with unemployment and how they worked through that together and some of the challenges that they faced. And so, Craig, thank you guys for being here. And, Craig, just to start you out, you know, tell us a little bit about your job situation and how that job loss played out.
Yeah, so back in 2008, 2009, during the recession, I had found myself in a job. Really enjoyed the job, had a great boss, really enjoyed the work I was doing. I looked forward to it every day. I've had jobs that weren't so good, and I've had bosses that weren't so good, but this was a good one, and I really enjoyed it. And I found myself one day, I went into the office, I was called in by my boss, and he said, Craig, he said, you know, finances aren't good. The recession, as you've well seen, is taking its toll, and we need to downsize. And so here I was getting laid off and, completely blindsided, never saw it coming.
Okay, so you were called into the office and didn't have any clue. You got the news, and so you get the news. What was your initial reaction? But even beyond that, it's like, I got to go home and tell Tony. So you got to deal with that, and then 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, it really sets in that, wow, this is going to be a longer process. What was going on inside you emotionally, you know, in terms of your mind? What were you thinking?
Well, it's probably no surprise. My stress level peaked pretty much instantly. We decided long ago, we prayed for the opportunity. Tony had a career job, and we talked about her being a stay-at-home mom and prayed hard about it, and God provided the opportunity for us to do that in a very profound way. So it was great, and we really wanted that. But now what that meant for me was I was the sole source of income for the home. So obviously a lot of pressure in that. So instantly, you know, I gotta get moving. I gotta get on the move. I have a plan. I'm gonna, you know, update my resume. I'm gonna call my resources. I'm gonna call my contacts. And I was like, wow, you know, I gotta make this happen. And weeks later, you know, the difficulty with the type of job that I have is a very sort of narrow niche type position. It's a very unique kind of job. And so finding a direct replacement was nearly impossible. And so weeks and months in, I'm scrambling and getting nowhere.
Okay. So Tony, for you, you're at home, like doing your thing. Craig comes home, breaks this news to you, and then you told me that over the course of the next days and weeks, you got to a pretty dark place. You know, what was going on inside you?
Sadly, I did. I went to a very dark place. Some depression, anger, frustration. I'd like to tell you I turned straight to God, but I didn't. I was trying to figure out how I could make it work, or how I could tell him to make it work. It was a really rough time.
Okay. So basically, emotionally, it takes a toll, but it also, you know, takes a toll on a relationship. I mean, every marriage is hard. You know, anybody who thinks a marriage is easy is not married. They're reading something. They're not married. I mean, you be married 10 years or 20 years. Somebody's married 50 years. Like, boy, that must have been easy for you. You did it 50 years. Man, fantastic. That must have been easy. No. It's always hard work, a lot of hard work. But then when you throw something like this into the mix, you got a lot of pressure, a lot of stress. And Tony, you said it took a toll on your relationship together.
Yeah, it did. Praise God, we didn't really have any nasty fights. We learned a lot about each other. We learned that typical guys here, I'm not putting you all in the same box, but kind of stressed, so he goes into his little box and he's quiet and just doesn't want to talk about it. Me being a woman, we want to talk about it. We want to have a plan. We want to discuss everything. So that posed a little bit of a problem for us. We had to learn how to communicate. Our conversations became very minimal just because we were dealing in our own way of how to just navigate through this time.
Okay. How about for you, Craig, relationship-wise? You're thinking one thing, you're trying to work through this, and now you got the pressure of trying to keep things together.
Yeah, and again, maybe sort of typical guy. I have a plan. I'm going to work the plan. I'm going to do my thing. I don't need to talk about it. And when I'm done, like, I would spend every morning in the office for between 6 and 8 hours trying to find a job, you know, reaching out to folks, updating resumes, searching all the job boards. And when I was done, I was done. And I didn't want to talk about it. I just needed to put it away for the day because I'd done as much as I could. I didn't know anything else to do. And I come out of my home office, and my lovely wife's waiting there, and she wants to hear all about it, and I don't want to talk about it. I'm just, you know, and again, it's a very stressful situation for me, so I'm ready to put it away now, and she needs to talk about it. So it was, there was a very challenging communication piece to all that.
So you had talked too about community and how other people in the midst of your struggle were key players in helping you break out of things and find your way forward, people God led into your life. Talk about that a little, Craig.
Excuse me. So throughout the time that we were experiencing this, we continued attending church, continued being part of this body, and it was so meaningful. We had people reaching out to us, you know, how are you doing? You know, are you having any luck? To which, of course, I was real happy to talk about it. But they cared. They wanted to pray with me. They wanted to pray for me. They wanted to make sure that our needs were being met. I mean, there was, you know, we had unemployment, but again, that's only a small percentage of what a normal income is. So there wasn't a lot of money to go around. We'd minimized our bills as much as possible. We'd sold a bunch of stuff. And we had one couple in particular came over and they wanted to, and it was a couple from a different church, actually. It was friends of ours from years back. And they wanted to help, and they wanted to try and figure out if there's anything that they could offer, you know, of any kind. And so in the midst of the conversation, he looks at me and he says, I have something in the car I need to give you. Okay. So in the middle of the conversation, he gets up and he walks out to the car. He comes back, he gives me a book. Thanks. You know, I'm not sure how a book's going to help, but I appreciated the sentiment. And sure enough, he encouraged me strongly. He said, I think the message in this book is going to be meaningful to you. And it was written by a pastor, the message that was in there, God had been preparing me for. We're at the year mark at this point in the story, and I'd been broken down. I'm feeling like helpless in this because I've been looking for jobs. I've been doing all the right things, everything I'd ever done throughout my career to get jobs, and it wasn't working. And suddenly, I find myself reading this book, and it was a change of perspective. It changed nothing about my circumstances. But what it did was it forced me to look at my situation differently. And it forced me to understand that God is trying to do something in my life if I'd stop trying to control it and listen to what he had to say. And that was the pivotal point for us. And I gave her the book next to read, which she was not thrilled with initially, but it made just as big of an impact for her. And throughout that time, the family here, one of my favorite stories was one day there was a ding-dong and run at the door. So I'm in the house, and Tony wasn't there for whatever. I don't know where she was at the moment. But the doorbell rang, and I shushed the dogs back the hallway so they wouldn't be barking at whoever came to the door. And by the time I got to the door, after shushing the dogs and opening the door, I saw this car speeding down the road like it was leaving a robbery scene. And as I opened the door, there's five bags of groceries on the porch. And I was just blown away, just so thankful, and story after story of people that just reached out to help, would bring us a meal, would bring us, I found an envelope full of giant gift cards for the giant grocery store in our mailbox one day, and just people wanting to help, people wanting to make sure that we were fed and taken care of, and it was so meaningful. So the community just carried us through the roughest of those times.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Tony, you said last week's video, Tori Kelly video, where she talked about, you know, disappointments, a bunch of other things too. You said it really impacted you. What stood out to you?
She had a quote, and she said, "When I finally turned it over to God, doors began to open." And that was so true for Craig and I. We had sold 50%. We had our house pretty well packed. We had our contract in hand to sign to put our house up for sale. We were done. We had no more money to tap into. We drained our savings. We drained everything that we had. Neither of us could sign. It was one of those 3 a.m. God conversations. It was when we fell to our knees and said, "We have no more. God, you have to help us. Please show us." And it was at that time we both were satisfied with not signing to sell our house. It was the next week Craig got offered 2 jobs. Not one, but 2. After 19 months of nothing. We then had to pray about what job would best suit our needs. But it was all the prayers from this church family, the meals that were provided. There were times, it was very hard for me. I just think it's because of my being, how I was raised. You never want to tell anybody you don't have food for your table. I missed many a meals, making sure that Craig and Carly had plenty. It was difficult. We had a lot of cereal. But then I realized over the years I stole blessings from people, because I would be honored to give somebody a meal who was hungry. So understanding that and learning that God, you know, is working. He is working in our church family. This is such a blessing, being here and being part of it, and the church itself, you know, helping us out. You know, they can't. Everybody, you can't fix every problem that somebody's going through, but you can lessen the burden. And the church as a whole did that for us.
Okay, thank you. 2 doors opened, and the Lord took care of you. So thank you so much for sharing your story. Let's give him a hand this morning.
If I could, just one brief thing.
Okay.
One of the most, and this is just the, one of the most important things I could say about it, is it was one of the most challenging, it was number one most challenging time in our marriage, and difficult, but we are forever changed for the better as a result of it, and I'm thankful that God brought us through that to learn the things that we learned. So always be encouraged, even in the midst of the trials, God's doing something, you will be the better for it, whether you know it in the midst of it or not. It's important to remember.
Cool. All right. Thank you. Just give me a hand. Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Gregory.
So it's something that we're likely to experience, and maybe it's a job loss, or maybe it's just loss of some other type. Inevitably, it's going to happen to us. And the question really is, what do we do in this particular situation when we experience career chaos? We're unemployed, underemployed, or we wish we weren't employed where we are employed. How do we navigate that and work through that? I think one of the first things that we can do is this, to acknowledge our struggle and our emotions. Acknowledge your struggle and acknowledge your emotions. One of the things that I love about the Bible, I love about the scripture, is that it doesn't sugarcoat life. That just because somebody has faith or somebody believes in God, it doesn't mean that everything goes great, that it's victory all the time, that it's always, everything's coming up roses and the grass is always green. It just doesn't work that way. The truth is that we are broken people. We live in a broken world. Faith makes all the difference, but we struggle. And I love how the Bible portrays that struggle. That we have character after character, man after man, woman after woman who love God, who are honest and transparent about how difficult life can be sometimes. And I want to look at the Apostle Paul in particular, because here is a man who is smart. Here's a man who's competent, who's resourceful, who can solve a lot of problems in his own life, but he reaches the point where he recognizes that emotionally, there are times where he takes a beating. And there are times he's a human being, that things are not being controlled the way he hoped they might be controlled. The way he can control other things, it doesn't always work out for him. And he is very honest when he struggles. I love that, because he doesn't come off as a super spiritual, have it all together all the time person. We don't get a sense from Paul that he has this S emblazoned on his chest, that he's like Superman, but he's very transparent. And we see that play out in 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 9. It says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death." Here's Paul talking about a moment in time, likely when he was on a missionary trip to what is modern-day Turkey. So he's on this mission trip, and something goes bad, like really seriously bad. And he's in a very bad predicament, and we look at this and we realize the pressure was so intense. The threat was so real, the danger so apparent, that this man reached a point where he despaired even of life itself. Like, wow, I think my life is over. Like, there's no way out of this. There's no exit strategy. I don't see any way to dig my way out of this pit that I'm in. That I've been thrown into it. I can't climb out of it. It's getting darker. I feel closed in. There's no hope for my future. Paul is talking about a very scary emotional moment where he feels a creeping hopelessness. I think if we look at our own lives, we can step back and say, if somebody as prominent, as so connected spiritually to Christ, someone who's just so strong in his faith, if Paul can have moments like that, then we can expect that we will as well. I mean, have you ever felt like life was tilting in the wrong direction? Have you ever felt those moments where things were going badly and you planned them and you prayed about it and you tried to take the right steps and somehow life's throwing curveballs and it's not coming out the way you planned it? The course isn't really following the one you prescribed. It's a scary emotional time. Maybe you've felt those moments where your joy just seems to be just draining away, where your peace is being stolen by your circumstances. Maybe you've felt despair and a creeping hopelessness too. I think that, as we look at our own lives, there are times when some of these feelings, quite honestly, they're normal. It's normal. Some of the feelings that Craig and Tony were describing are completely normal. We can expect that. Whenever we experience loss, we're going to grieve. It hurts. And so we're going to grieve. And so there's going to be this moment where maybe we're in denial. Like, this can't be happening. It's not possible that this is happening. It's like, God wouldn't let this happen. My boss didn't just call me into the office and say those words. I can't fathom that. We can go into denial. And then when reality sets in and we're packing up our stuff and we're walking out the door, then we kind of kick into this anger. It's normal to feel angry. To feel anger at our circumstances, angry at our boss and others who maybe didn't review us well or didn't consider our situation. It's normal to feel angry about the world. Sometimes we're angry at God. If we're honest, there are times we're angry. It's like, God, you know my needs. You know my circumstances. You know my heart. You know how I'm trying to be faithful to you. You know how I'm trying to do the right thing. And this is what happens? In an honest moment, we can say, boy, God, I'm angry about this. We may even feel anger at God himself. And sometimes we go into bargaining. It's like, God, if the boss calls me back in and I get my job back, I'll do this for you. I'll do this for you if you do this for me. And we're going to bargain and like make our way back into this. And then when that doesn't work, we can feel depressed. We can even feel despairing. Like we're in a downward spiral that's unending. And here is the thing, every one of those feelings is completely normal. Anytime we experience loss. And our way to acceptance, the way to getting to a new normal, to that place of healing and wholeness, God wants us to get to. Loss is never an end in itself. It's never the final word. God wants us to bring us out of our loss to a place of healing and wholeness. But that growth, that process of getting there is never a straight line. It's much more like this. It's much more like this roller coaster. Like one day you're like, okay, I'm getting through this. And the next day you're like, wow, I'm back to square one. Those feelings are normal, but here's the thing. When we get stuck in that spiral of despair, that's when it becomes dangerous. When we never get to the point where we move on with our lives and we see the new doors that God is opening, when we never see the new normal that God has in mind for us, even though we would have never chosen it, then we're in danger of spiraling downward emotionally, spiritually, and in every way. So one of the best things we can do is to avoid this whole thing is to monitor our heart and our spirit. We need to look at our emotional check engine light. You know, you have a check engine light. It's not in your car. It is in your car, but it's an emotional check engine light. It's in your heart and soul and spirit. Here are a couple warning signs, things you need to look out for. I think, first of all, a danger sign is a loss of appetite, that you're not eating anymore. You're losing weight. You have this inability to sleep. You cannot sleep at night. Another big one is this lack of interest, lost interest in things that you once really were passionate about and enjoyed. Now you don't want to do them anymore. Don't want to have any interest in this anymore. You've totally lost interest in things that were important to you. It could be persistent irritability. You're just constantly on edge, constantly like just hands clenched and just struggling through it. It could also be withdrawal. This is a big sign too. And Craig and Tony, they avoided it, but it's not easy to avoid. Because sometimes when we go through a hardship or experience loss, it's easy for us to pull back from other people. It's easy for us to say, you know what, fine. I'm just going to handle this on my own. I'm just going to work through this on my own. We're not part of community. We're not connected with our church. We're not part of a group anymore. No one knows what's really going on in the struggle that we have. And as a result, we can't share that burden, and other people can't bear that burden. And we don't get the prayer that would help us. And we may not get the support that God has in mind to give us. As Tony said, we rob somebody of the opportunity to care. And if we reverse roles, I'm pretty sure just about every one of us would say, if I knew you were hungry, I'm firing up the stove right now. Because that's what I would do. But when it's us, if we withdraw, we can find ourselves missing out on provision God has in mind. So being honest with our feelings is the first thing. A second thing is this. Use the layoff, loss, and difficulty as an opportunity to listen to God and grow spiritually, emotionally, relationally, and professionally. Use the layoff, use the loss, use the setback and the struggle and the difficulty as an opportunity to listen to God more than you ever have before, to tune into His voice as you have never tuned in before, and let Him grow you spiritually. Let Him grow you emotionally and even professionally. You see, Paul acknowledged his struggles. He was very transparent, which is something I think every one of us can learn to do. But he also knew something that prevented a downward spiral. He knew something that changed the trajectory from down into the abyss to upward into the light. He knew something that was transformational. And it says this in verse 8 through 9. There's more to what we just read. He says, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Here we have a moment where sometimes things happen to us that we do not understand. It does not make sense. We cannot fathom what the reasoning would be. We hear verses about how God works all things together for good, and it is completely true, but we do not feel it and we do not see it. We have moments like this. We're like just kind of scratching our heads saying, God, I know you're there. I believe you're there. I don't feel you. I cannot understand what's going on. It feels like the sentence of death to us. Like the death of our hopes and dreams, the death of our plans, the death of our future. It's all been taken away. We don't know where we're going to stand tomorrow. Here Paul is saying that, yes, I've had that feeling and moment too. But it happened and God was there. And he was there doing something that he did not at first see. It says this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. Here's the picture of the response God wants from us when we experience loss, and you will. God wants us to turn to him and say, I don't get it, I don't see it, I don't like it, I don't understand it. I don't feel you, but I'm not living by my feelings. I'm going to rely on you and trust in you, that you're doing something bigger that I cannot see, that this happened for that very purpose, to teach me that. But I love what it says next because it's really powerful. That we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. But not just any God. Not just any spiritual force. Not just any higher power. There's all kinds of people that say there's all kinds of gods in this world. There's a God and there's a guru for everything. And people are going to say, well, you should rely on this God or that God or that. And so there's experts who will say, well, you can turn to me and I'll help solve your problems. I can save you from your problems and your issues and your stuff. There's all kinds of gods, but Paul's not talking about any of those gods. There's one particular God he has in mind that has the ability to pull us out of the abyss, the ability to pull us out of darkness and despair. It's this God who raises the dead. It's like Paul is saying here, there's one God, Jesus himself, who has the resurrection power, who has the ability to do what no one else can do, that when your plans are dead and your dreams are dead and your hopes are dead and these things don't seem to have any possibility of being revived, God has the ability, God has this capability to turn hopeless situations around. He is alone able to turn something dying and dead back to life. I think that's what's powerful about this. that when life drains us and our future's in jeopardy and we don't see a way out, when we think our life has been taken away from us, there is one God, Jesus, who can actually enter that brokenness and that pain and give us our life back. You see, that's what God can do. That's what Jesus wants to do. Enter your brokenness, enter your pain, enter your struggle, enter your grieving, enter your loss, and actually with his resurrection power, over time, in his timing, according to his plan and his way, he wants to enter that and give you your life back. And he can do it because he alone has that capacity to enter that world of struggle and pain and turn it around. And so the very first thing that I think is important for us to kind of key in on when we're struggling is to say, God, I want to lean on you. I want to rely on you. I want to turn to you as never before. I want to grow spiritually in the midst of this struggle. And then something else happens. You see, God doesn't want us just to grow spiritually. He also wants us to grow in other areas, professionally too. You see, this is important. God wants you to grow spiritually and professionally, but here's the deal. The sequence matters. The sequence matters. Because when you lose a job, you're going to have a career coach. You can talk to them. You can read stuff on the internet. And they're going to say, you should do this, 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 and this, and this. And you know what? All those thises, those can be very smart sequence of things and, you know, things that, tasks that you should do to find a job. Fantastic. That's smart. But here's the thing. That comes second. The first thing we need to do is to ask God, God, what do you want me to do? What are the steps you want me to take? What is the sequence that I'm to follow to find your next open door for my life? We can follow the expert advice of others, but that's second. That comes after we listen to God and say, God, what do you want me to do? What is my next step? What is the sequencing of steps that I am to take? I want you to set me up for my divinely orchestrated moments where I'm meeting people, just happen to meet somebody, just accidents, just happen to get this book, just happen to get this insight, just all so accidental, and none of it's accidental because God is leading us and we're tuned into him first. And because of that, we're listening and following his plan and the steps he desires us to take. So let's get practical. What are some practical things you can do? I think the first thing is to get out there and tell as many people as you can that you need a job. Network like a maniac. Get out there and tell people. Talk to friends. Talk to former coworkers, former bosses that you have a good relationship with. Tell random strangers at the supermarket. Go up to them and say, listen, I need a job. And that, don't do that. That's very weird. But you get the idea. Get out there and tell people that you need work and that you're looking for things and get to know certain people. Go to work fairs. Find a headhunter. Get out there. Don't be quiet about it. Set up a new budget. Create a new budget. Don't stick your head in the sand and say, well, it'll work out someday. No, no, you need to know the numbers. You need to get the budget in order and figure out what you have, so that you can make some decisions. Because here's the situation. Your greatest asset is not your car. Your greatest asset is not your house. Your greatest asset is your ability to generate income. That's your greatest asset. Because if you can generate income, and most people generate it through their salary, then you can keep yourself afloat financially and move in a good direction. So the question is, if that salary is gone and you can't generate income, what do? You need to be honest with your budget. Look at things, figure out exactly where you can cut, what you need to do, what type of short-term work you might need to take to fill in the gap temporarily, when you tap certain funds and when you don't. I think another thing is set up a daily schedule. It's very important to get out of your pajamas Okay, you can't walk around in your pajamas all day. You're in your pajamas. You go check the mail. You're in your pajamas. You're driving down the street. You're in your pajamas. No good. You got to get changed, get up, and get, you know, going and get your life moving. Find a way to invest in your personal development. This is something that Craig talked about in the first service. We didn't get to it because there's a wide ranging of, you know, kind of ebb and flow. But this is very important because the question will be in the midst of this, this is a very key question for every single one of us. Every single one of us, regardless of where we're at on our vocational, path. How am I making myself more marketable? Huge question. How are you making yourself more marketable and attractive to an employer? Are you taking time to develop certifications? Are you getting additional education? Are you adding things into the mix so that people say, wow, I could use you? Or are you just kind of treading water? Use this time to say, I'm going to invest. And even if I don't have a lot, invest something to develop those certifications, that kind of training that will help you maybe get a job offer or open a new door in the future, new skill sets for the future. And finally, listen to see if God is leading you to a different type vocation, maybe more purposeful, maybe more meaningful. Maybe God is going to lead you back to your career, but he's going to kind of say, wait, you did some volunteer work that was very meaningful. You're going to add that to your life. It's going to be more enriching. So you're going to keep a job, but you're going to find volunteer work that you dabbled in during your time of loss, during time of unemployment. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to keep doing that because it's meaningful. Or maybe God will lead you to a job that is itself more purposeful. Ultimately, he's in control of all these things. Now, as you're looking at your note, you're like, there's more. Well, we're done for today. So if you're a fill-in-the-blank type person, I apologize. You're like, we're not going to fill in all the blanks today. And I know some of you are like, oh, we got to fill in every blank. We're not moving out of this place. We'll get to it. Next week, we're going to look at the last point here. Very, very important stuff that I want to get into, but with the interview and everything, we're going to move on. The bottom line in all of this is that God is working in the midst of that struggle, of that unemployment, that career chaos, that loss in your life. And as we trust in him and lean on him, he's not only going to provide all our needs, he's going to provide everything we need, but he's going to open doors that maybe we have not seen before. If we're just faithful and stay the course and trust him through the fog. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you for Craig and Tony and their story and their willingness to share it. Thank you, God, that we can be honest and transparent with others. And maybe it's not everyone. There are people in this world that would definitely want to hurt us if they knew something personal. But there are definitely people around us who would help us if we shared honestly a struggle in our own lives. Help us to figure out who those people are because you're sending them to us. And I just pray, God, that we will just find our refuge in you, that we'll find our refuge in your church, your community, that we'll be the people you want us to be, that will turn to you, acknowledge you, trust you, and reap the blessing long-term of faithfulness to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.